Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk to you about all our favorite issues and publishers. But first, a bit of comic book news. Not a ton to go over this week, but I do have a couple great things to talk about. What I'm excited about is Dark Horse and Kevin Smith have announced that he is coming back for a second volume of Quick Stops. For those who missed the first volume, it was a really great mini filling in these little blanks between different parts of the VUSC universe. And I really liked it. I thought it was fun as somebody who used to really love those movies for a long time as a kid and like obsess over the like everything and all the little links to them. It was really fun to see these little stories filling in some of those cracks. So really cool. But now Dark Horse and Kevin Smith have announced they're coming back for Quick Stops 2. This one is going to be a new stories, but it does seem like it's going to be four issues of a big story, which is the tale of Mubi, the golden calf, which everybody should be familiar with if you're familiar with Kevin Smith's stuff. I think this is a great idea. It's going to be wacky and weird, and I can't wait to see where he comes up with it. Obviously, there's like a religious connotation there that's not, you know, not unsurprising, but yeah, I want to see where it's going to go, so I'll definitely be picking it up. The other bit of indie news I have is that James Tynion IV and Joshua Hickson are going to collaborate with Image Comics, and they're going to make a new series called The Deviant, which is a horror holiday story. It is going to be a mini, and I'll just read from the press release that James Tynion put out. The Deviant is something a little different, a dark-focused psychological crime thriller, where I get to explore the intersection of my queer identity and a broader scope of cultural transgression and deviance. This is my response to The Silence of the Lambs and Jeffrey Dahmer serving as my first real glimpses of my queer identity as a young closeted Midwestern boy. It's one of the darkest, most personal stories I've ever written. It's also a story about Christmas, which is a great way to sell it. Yeah, I'm here for it. I love everything James does, so I'm definitely going to be picking that up. Next bit of news, we're going to switch over to DC for one bit of news. Cena Grace, one of my favorites out there, as a comic writer, is going over to DC for a brand new graphic novel about Superman. It's going to be called Superman, The Harvest of Youth. And it is going to focus on him as a young hero, most likely in the era of Lex Smallville. And it's going to be about, as a lot of Cena's work is, about that personal touch, about that the personal problems and dramas and struggles that young people have. And that's what this one's going to be about. And I'm here for this. I really like Cena's work, as I said. Pretty much everything that Cena's put out, I've enjoyed. And just the one quick shot we have of the art here, I think it's going to be a really great story. So I am here for this. Everybody should be picking this one up. Next up, I did want to go ahead and mention a couple of unfortunate passings. Dan Green, who is a long-running Marvel artist, has passed away. Also, Tom Palmer, who is another longtime comic artist, has passed away as well within the last week. Dan Green is pretty legendary as an inker, worked on Uncanny X-Men, and is one of the premier like inkers of that era. A lot of stuff, a lot of really iconic imagery you saw, it was probably inked by him. So he did pass away. It's unfortunate. These are the comics I grew up reading. It's something that, you know, a lot of these icons of the early comic era are starting to pass away, and it's unfortunate. But it is kind of great that we do have like a young generation that are stepping up and doing such a great job. So the second one, of course, is Tom Palmer. Tom Palmer is also an inker who did a lot of work on Avengers and X-Men, did the Tomb of Dracula, and just again another inker of the same era, kind of. And like Palmer's like the thing I read about it specifically was like one of the last comic creators from that iconic Marvel heyday. Just two losses there. And again, unfortunate, you know, that's just sad to see, you know, but, you definitely see both of their influence in comic creators these days. And then my final bit of news, because I went in on something a little happy. Marvel has released a bit of information about the upcoming Spider-Gwen series. And you know I'm going to talk about it because it's Spider-Gwen. It is going to be called Spider-Gwen Smash, after previously being titled Spider-Gwen on Tour. And the creative team is still the same, written by Melissa Flores, art by Anid Balam, and with some great covers, including a Peach Momoko cover. So could I love it more? No, I could not. But I'm definitely really excited about this book. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, it's Gwen. Why won't I pick it up? So everybody should be picking it up. And I think it's time for Gwen to have an ongoing again, not just these many after many after many. So please, please, please give me a Spider-Gwen ongoing. That's all I'm asking for. Please so much. Thank you. With all that out of the way, I am ready to talk about some comic books. And as always on this show, when we start reviewing comic books, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom. And Boom Studios is my first publisher of the week. I got two books from Boom, the first of which is Magic Planeswalkers Notorious. This is once again, just like the previous Magic the Gathering book, a two-story little anthology about some planeswalkers and like kind of revolving around the same theme. This one has two stories written by Rich Duick and Cullen Bunn, art by Carlos Pedro and French Carlo Magno, colors by Ariana Consoni and Mattia Iocono, and letter by Ed Dukeshire across the board. I like this one quite a bit. It was really cool. I like the first one. There's like a lot of trickery in the first one that I really enjoyed, and some characters that don't necessarily get the spotlight that a lot of people do. And then the second one is kind of like just a really great Liliana story, which I wish Josue were here because he's a big Liliana fan. So, but both were great. I really love the lore of Magic the Gathering and how these comics are really adding to it. So, again, if you're a Magic fan, I recommend it. If you really enjoyed that last run of Magic the Gathering like I did, this is a great supplement to it. So make sure to pick it up. My other Boom Book of the Week is Creed, The Next Round, number 3. This is the one telling the story of the daughter of Creed, of the eponymous boxer, written by LaToya Morgan and Hyde Jameson, art by Wilton Santos and Valentin Delandro, color by DJ Chavez and Marissa Louise, and letter by And World Design. I really like this issue because we get to check in with Amara and her family some more, which we've been doing for two issues, but we also get to check in with her presumed opponent, the young woman that she's most likely going to face in the future and that they've been setting up. And so I really liked the way this played out because we get to see both sides. We get to see she's not just a generic villain. And I think that's something that, you know, the Creed movies have done a really good job of, is showing the humanity of all sides. But this is really good. And it also has like this added family drama and, like, it's just really cool. I don't want to give it away because that would be a spoiler, but I'm really enjoying this series as someone who's a big fan of the movies and thinking they're just some of the best boxing movies ever made. This is a great next step, and I really, really enjoy it. So make sure to check it out, Creed, The Next Round, number 3. After that, we're going to talk about another publisher, and in this case, it's going to be Oni Press. I only have one Oni Press book for this week, and it's Rick and Morty, The Science of Summer, which is a one-shot, written by Magdalene Visaggio, illustrated and colored by Mark Ellerby, and letter by Crank. I love Summer. She's actually my favorite Rick and Morty character, because unfortunately I am most like Summer of all of them. So I really liked this issue. It's definitely about Summer and how do I put it without spoiling it? It very much digs into her character and the possibilities of who she could become. And I think that's a lot of fun. I think she is an interesting character. I think she's a lot of times one note, and this book makes her very much not so. And I thought that was really cool. So if you're a Rick and Morty fan, again, I recommend it. And it's a one shot. It's a pretty good size, too. So it's not too much of a commitment. It's definitely something worth picking up if you're interested in it. And next, we're going to talk about Dynamite Comics. I have one Dynamite book for the week, and that's Darkwing Duck number 8. Script by Amanda Diebert, art and color by Carlo Loro, letter by Jeff Eckelberry. I'm not going to get too much into this one because it's a continuing story from the previous story that's going on, where Darkwing is just resisting teaming up with the Justice Ducks at all costs. There's a lot of Gizmo Duck in this one, which I love because I love Gizmo Duck, and it's just a lot of fun. I love Darkwing being like this buffoon, but really competent at the same time. I think that's one of the appeals of Darkwing Duck. Like, if he was just completely incompetent and bad at his job, I don't think he'd be nearly as interesting a character, but he is a good hero. He just doesn't get the respect he deserves, and he knows it. So I love Darkwing, but this has been really, really good. I like the arc so far. There's a really cool, like, villain layer in this one that I thought was done really well. So just awesome. Really good stuff. Been loving the Darkwing book and cannot wait for the Negaduck book. So. And after that is our next publisher, which is Ablaze Comics. Ablaze is giving us one more book this week, and that is The Mighty Barbarians, number 5. Written by Michael Marici, art by Giuseppe Cafaro, color by Barbara Nascenzo, and letter by Jim Campbell. This one is just all action, and it's fantastic. A giant battle between our heroes and a massive army that later turns into a massive army on a massive army. And I love the lore behind this one. I love the character beats are really great. Specifically, I love what Morgan does in this issue. I think it's just really cool. Just another great addition to this run. I mean, I talk about this book every issue, and I talk about how great it is. So you guys should be buying this by now. But it's fantastic. It's just so enjoyable with really interesting characters, and characters that sometimes, again, are kind of one note, depending on who's writing them. And Michael's doing a great job. I just love these characters so much. So, yeah, I don't know how much longer this is going on, considering it's a quest with a defined end. But we'll see. I've enjoyed it so far. Next up is IDW Publishing. And I have a couple IDW books to talk about this week. First of all, The Rocketeer and the Den of Thieves, number 2. A story by Stephen Mooney, art and colors by David Messina, and letter by Sean Lee. I just really love The Rocketeer, and I remember loving The Rocketeer as a kid and like not remembering many details, just remember thinking, oh, it's so cool. And now that I'm reading these comics in, now they're starting to really push The Rocketeer in the comics sphere again. God, I just love this character. I love the story. I love the setting. It's just so good. And this is just another example of it. I love this idea that he wants to step away from being the Rocketeer because it's what will make Betty happy, and he's trying his best to make her happy, but sometimes a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do, you know. And it's just I really like it, and just the art alone is like so good that it really draws me into this character and makes me really want more of it. I just thoroughly enjoy this book. It's been really, really good, and if you have even a passing interest in the Rocketeer, it is 100% worth a pickup. This is only issue 2, so you're only missing one issue. You can go back and find that, I'm sure. So definitely pick up Rocketeer in the Den of Thieves, number 2. My other IDW book is a crossover. So it's both IDW and Dark Horse. And that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Stranger Things 2. The most insane crossover. And I love it. Written by Cameron Shittock, art by Federal P, colored by Sophie Dodgson, a letter by Russ Wooten. So my niece is 13 years old. And she's obsessed with the Teenage Mutant Turtles right now. And I'm setting up a pull box with her local comic book store because we live in different states. And I'm just going to buy her every Teenage Mutant Turtles book that comes out. And I'm starting with this series. I'm getting them to get number 1 for her and stuff like that. Because it's so much fun. And she's watched Stranger Things, so she gets that part of it too. But it's so good. Like, and it's just fun. Like, the Turtles get this moment to shine. But if you think about this cast, it's really big because it's all the major kids, like the younger kids from Stranger Things, and then all 4 turtles. And that's a lot. That's a lot to do, but they do a really good job of balancing such a large cast and giving everybody a moment to shine, something to do. I think it's really great. It's a lot of fun. In case anyone's wondering, the turtles do not go to Hawkins. The kids go to New York. So, and it's so bizarre, and I do love how they just kind of accept that, oh, these turtles exist. And I'm like, well, yeah, they've seen some weird shit, you know? Like, so why not? I mean, I guess that makes sense. So a lot of fun. Definitely worth a pickup, which brings me to my next publisher, which I just brought up, which was Dark Horse. Dark Horse, and I have some actual Dark Horse books, including Stranger Things, Tales from Hawkins, number 3, written by Jody Hauser, art by Giorgia Giosposito, color by Dan Jackson, and letter by Nate Picos. This one is a focus story for Robin, and I love it because I love Robin. Robin's my favorite Stranger Things character. I think she's a lot of fun. I might be biased because I'm the world's biggest Ethan Hawke fan, so that's probably a good part of it. But I really think she's fun. I think she's sarcastic. She's also the character I'm probably the most like. So, yeah, I thought this was really cool. It is a story before the movies. So it definitely adds some background to her character. And, of course, it addresses her sexuality pretty directly. I really like it. It served a really good purpose in developing that character. And I think it's something that if you are a fan of Stranger Things, it's definitely one you should pick up. But you should be picking up this whole series. It's been very good. So my next and final Dark Horse book is The Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos, which I discovered, unfortunately, if you abbreviate that, because I do that with long titles, it's Top Lock. And I had some Sherlock fandom flashbacks that just, oh my God. So, based on a day by James Tynion IV, script by Tate Bromble, art by Isaac Goodhart, color by Mikhail Murto, and letter by Aditya Bidikar. I love this one because we are slowly but surely getting to know these other kids. And I really like them. In this one, we get to see a really interesting and still like mysterious character that we've seen before, but we get to dive a bit more into her past, but we don't deep dive like we do some of the others. And so there's still a lot of mystery there. We also get a lot of background on our antagonists, which I thought was really, really interesting. And we get kind of like a mini Breakfast Club situation where, you know, all the related kids are in detention. So I thought that was really cool. And we do see these three kids coming together, being drawn together. And I liked it. I thought it was really great. I really like these characters. And I'm very curious to see where we're going to go. So, yeah, can't wait for more. That brings me to my next publisher, which is Image Comics. And I got some Image books this week, and we're going to talk about those. First of all, Scrapper, number 2. Scrapper is, if anyone remembers, it is a series about a talking dog in a dystopian future who is kind of a hero to the local neighborhood. And then something happens. His owners are tragically lost, and now he is looking to avenge them, but also protect everybody. And he's just a good boy, isn't he? So story by Cliff Bleszinski, art and Alex DeCompi, art by Ryan Kelly and Jordi Belair, letters by Alex DeCompi. Yeah, this one's great. And I love how this expands the world a bit. We have Scrapper, and he is definitely a special good boy. But we get to see like other animals come into it, including a really great last page reveal that I think is going to open up the story and make it something really cool and interesting that I really am anticipating. But we also get to see a bunch of pigeons be badasses, and I love that. So I love this book. I think it's really fun. And how do I put it? I want to see where it goes. But every time I have a book with a dog in it, I'm worried the dog is going to die, even if it's not the main dog. Maybe stray dogs has hurt me too much for this. So yeah, but I really, really like it. It's a great book. And yeah, you know what? Get Trish Forstner to do a variant cover. No one can draw dogs like Trish Forstner. There you go. That's an idea. That one's free. Next up is Indigo Children, number 6. This one is a climactic issue for this book. A lot happens here, and we've been building up to for a while now. So I'll do the creative team: Kurt Pyers, Rockwell White, Alex Diotto, D. Cunniff, and Hassan Atzmani El Hau. Yeah, our indigos seem to be together now, and they seem to be ready to accomplish what they need to accomplish. And it's something happens that we kind of we foresaw coming, because we knew that somebody wasn't being true to the group, and it leads to a climactic shift in what's going to happen in this book. And I like it. I really want to go ahead and like find out what's going to happen next. If there is any kind of redemption, I don't feel there is, but you never know. They might go that angle, but yeah, really interesting. I've been very much enjoying this book. I particularly really like the art. I love the character designs. I think they're unique and interesting, and just they really suit the story and the powers, the visuals of the powers. I think it suits that very well. So yeah, definitely make sure to pick it up. Once again, Indigo Children number 6. And next is Click Click Boom number 3, written by Doug Wagner, art by Doug Dabbs, colored by Matt Wilson, a letter by Ed Dukeshire. I love this book. I love our protagonist. I think she's amazing. She's so much fun, and she's also like absolutely terrifying. Which is kind of a Doug Wagner thing now that I think about it. It's just a protagonist that you really adore, but you're also a little bit scared of. So yeah, I really like this one. It's very interesting, and how do I put this without totally giving away what happens? There is an event, something that happens that definitely changes the story. I'm curious to see like if it's a swerve or if it really happened, because that it does really change the story, and it definitely changes our main cast quite a bit is what I'll say. So, but I absolutely adore this book, and I love the way she communicates. I think it's an interesting storytelling device and a visual device, and yeah, 100% great book. Everybody should be reading this. So good. After that is we're going to go into the massive verse for a bit. Let's talk about The Dead Lucky number 8, written by Melissa Flores, art by French Calamagno, colored by Mattia Iocono, and letter by Becca Carey. An unexpected return has BB shook is what I will say. This book has, since the hiatus, has really kicked in, and I'm really enjoying it because I loved it before, but now it's bigger. It's not just like San Francisco. There's a lot going on, and it's definitely taken up more room in the existing world that these characters exist in. And I love it. And I guess it's ever since the Supermassive special from this year where BB appeared, I think that's probably a good part of it. So I thought it was great. I love the twist. The twist is awesome. And what does it mean? What are her powers? In fact, how do I not spoil? Yeah, let's just say her powers might not be exactly what we thought they were. So what does that mean for her? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to mean, but I loved it. So one of my favorite books. It's just doing really great. Which brings me to another great book, Rogue Son, number 15, written by Ryan Perot, art by Abel and Marco Rinna, colored by Natalia Marquez, and letter by Becca Carey. He's trying to get his body back, right? So the Rogue Son, his body has been taken over by his ancestor, and Dylan and his father have to team up with his grandfather, and they're in the stone, and they're fighting all these former Rogue Sons, which is a great excuse to have these crazy Rogue Son designs from different eras. And I love that alone. This is just fantastic. The big Viking one obviously is fantastic as well. Meanwhile, there's some conflict outside. Like, I definitely think that I will say this, from the beginning of the series, the sister character was one of my favorite characters just immediately, and I wasn't sure why. And I'm really starting to see her step up and be a really amazing, like, developed character. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen with her, because she definitely seems to be the most dependable of all of them. And even though she did betray him, I think she'll be an amazing ally once the smoke clears. So I hope it goes that direction, but it's been really good. And my final image book is another Massive Verse book, No One, number 5. Written by Kyle Higgins and Brian Buccoletto. Art by Gerardo Borges. Colored by Mark Englert. And letter by Hassan Asmani Al-Hau. I cannot stress enough how much the podcast adds to this comic. I love the comic. It's this amazing murder mystery, pseudo true crime or faux true crime story. And it's just unfolding in this amazing manner that I really, really love. And I'll say again, I've recently relocated to Pittsburgh, and being in Pittsburgh with this set in Pittsburgh is so fun. As I'm learning the city, I'm reading this comic about it. And it's just, I love it. It's just absolutely very, very cool. That being said, the podcast adds so much to it. And there's something as simple as putting a voice to some of the characters that I just love. And I adore Rachel Lee Cook. And one of the most attractive things about Rachel Lee Cook to me is her voice. She has a voice that is just incredible. It just draws me in. And then you throw in Patton Oswalt, who is just the man. Like, that's it. There's just no one above Patton Oswalt to me. So I just think it makes it that much better and so much more enjoyable. And it just really elevates this book to that level. And so for that, I am going to make Rogue Son 15 my book of the week. So yay, book of the week. I need a like klaxon or something. And with that said, let's talk about DC Comics. As always, we're going to start with the non-Night Terrors books first. I only got two, so this shouldn't take very long. DC Ruby number 7, written by Marguerite Bennett, art by Sue Lee, color by Marissa Louise, and letter by Morgan Martinez. This is the wrap on the series. I typically don't talk spoilers for a last issue, just because I want you all to go out there and read it. But I will say that I think Ruby has a really great... what's the word I'm looking for? She has a solution that I think is really creative and really well thought out that I thought was really great bit of storytelling. So kudos to that. I really liked this. I think I liked it more than the previous one, because the previous one was fun. But I think this one, I think Ruby coming to the DC universe had an interesting thing. I just kind of wish Team Juniper was with them, because I'm a huge Team Juniper fan. But I mean, that's a minor thing. Obviously, these are the four main characters, so that makes sense. But yeah, a lot of fun. I like the spin on the DC heroes, too. I think they were done really, really well. And yeah, great job with the Ruby characters. And I can't wait to see DC and Ruby maybe do a little bit more. I think that would be a really good idea. After that is my only other non-Night Terrors book. But holy crap, it's a big one. Written by Tom Taylor. Art by Yasmin Putri. Color by Arif Prianto. Letter by Wes Abbott. Let's talk about Dark Knights of Steel. Number 12 of 12. We have the big battle. And I love this book. This is my favorite DC Elseworld. I love it. I think it's so cool. The idea of it's so cool. And I think it wraps up amazingly. It's got some of the best visuals in the series in this issue. And just, it's so good. And it wraps everything up very well. It also teases possibilities for the future. And I swear to God, this book needs a sequel. I'm just going to spoil this. There's a tease of the Sky Kingdom and the Water Kingdom. And if you give me Hawkman and Aquaman teaming up against these people, I would love that shit. Are you kidding me? Give me that now, please. But what a book. It was one of my favorite DC books of the year. I mean, what else can I say about it? It's been 12 issues, people. Read it. It's fucking great. I know some of you out there are trade weight. This is a trade to pick up. I promise you. So once again, Dark Knights of Steel, 12 of 12, is a must pick up. Now let's talk Night Terrors for a bit. Night Terrors Action Comics number 2, written by Leah Williams, art by Vasco Georgiev, color by Alex Guimaraes, and letter by Becca Carey. This one is a lot of fun because it's Power Girl, and she's such a great character that it's kind of funny. In the right hands, she's probably one of DC's best characters, and Leah Williams is the right hands and has been with Power Girl for a while now. Her own like version of being trapped in a nightmare is interesting. I really like the way she, there's a line that I just absolutely love, which is, nobody hates me like I Hate Me, and I'm like, fuck, that's a little too close to home. But it's really good, and it's a good development of her character and leads into where Night Terrors is going, which we'll talk about in a bit. But for the second part of this two-parter, I think it was great. It was really, really good. There's also the Cyborg Superman backup story with the extended Superman family. I really enjoyed that, too. I thought that was a fun story, and definitely a way to use those characters without giving them like their own book. I kind of wish more books had like a B story for this crossover, but I understand they can't all have it. And you don't want to give, you know, you don't want to overclutter. But I really liked this one. I thought it was really great. And yeah, so both stories in this, A plus. Next up was Night Terror's Angel Breaker, number 2. This one, I think one of my favorite things about it is it was utterly creepy. Like, the others are a bit scary or a bit like, oh, what are they going to do? Like a thriller kind of thing. There's some real creep imagery in this that was just absolutely terrifying. So credit to the creative team, written by Tim Seeley, art by Aki Bright, colored by Brian Reber, and letter by Seda Timofonte. Angel Breaker is a great character, and it's someone that is not really known by the wider comic world. Should be known by more people, I should say. And yeah, I thought this was a really great addition, and it's a unique addition in that it's going to be adding something to the whole thing. I again, without talking about spoiling it, I don't want to spoil it, but there's something that happens in this issue that is almost certainly going to affect the overall arc of Night Terrors. And to put it in the hands of Angel Breaker, I thought that was a really great idea. So definitely worth a pickup. If you're following Night Terrors, you want to read this issue, because I really liked it. It was really good, and it has that important moment. So check it out. After that is Night Terrors Detective Comics. Speaking of creepy, this book was just unsettling. Written by Dan Waters, art by Riccardo Federici, Mike Perkins, Stefano Raffelli, colors by Brad Anderson, Mike Spicer, and Lee Luffridge, and letter by Steve Wands. I'm a big Barbara Gordon fan. Everybody knows that. And by extension, I like Jim Gordon because it's her dad. Why wouldn't I? And this definitely deals with the both of them, although this appears to be the dream version of Barbara because she's in Nightwing's dream, if I remember correctly. So, yeah. But the bad guys in this one, the good people of Gotham, are horrifying. Horrifying to look at. And holy crap, like, just the art in this book is just absolutely terrifying and just unsettling. So all the artists did a fantastic job with this one. And yeah, it's just, it ends in a really unsettling manner that just is just horrifying and bad. And given what we know of what happens in the future, when I talk about the Night Terrors core book, this book probably is the scariest to me. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, Night Terrors Harley Quinn, number 2. Written by Teeny Howard, art by Hayden Sherman, colored by Trina Farrow, and letter by Steve Wands. I love this one because it's a really great examination of who Harley is and who Harley should be. And I think that it addresses something that I think needed to be addressed and something that I think makes her more interesting than a generic hero, which is just simply the question of, like, what if she was just a good guy? What if she was just, you know, simple? What if she wasn't this complicated mess of emotions and past and, you know, mental illness? And then the answer is she'd be a lot boring and she wouldn't be herself. That's basically the answer. And I appreciate that. I really like this book. I thought this two-parter was so good. I'm really glad I stayed with Harley Quinn after Teeny took over. I was kind of worried because although I love Teeny Howard, I love everything she's done, just never been a Harley Quinn fan. So I thought, okay, I'll step off when Stephanie leaves, but no, I'm still here. And this book is just, it's just as good. I really enjoy it. This issue was just fantastic and just a really great like a poke at classic comics, but at the same time with a real heart behind it. So wonderful. Pick it up. Final Night Terrors side story is Night Terrors Titans, number 2. Written by Andrew Constant. Art by Scott Godelutsky and Mike Norton. Colorist by Ryan Cody and Hi-Fi. And letter by Wes Abbott. So there's this mysterious girl hanging out with the Titans in their dream. And they realize that the dream is for the new Titans Tower, which, of course, used to be a prison. And I'm like, who is this girl? Who is she going to be? And I was trying to figure it out. And we find out, and it's a really satisfying idea. I totally am not going to spoil this, though, because it's so good. If you heard it from me, it'd be a waste. You need to see it for yourself. But I loved this reveal. I love the idea. The implications of it could be nothing or it could be everything. That you could do so much with this. And I really like the idea. So I thoroughly enjoyed this issue. I've been enjoying everything Titans recently, so I mean, that's not a surprise, but man, what a book. What a book. That was really good. So big thumbs up for that one. And then finally, Night Terrors, the core book number 4, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Giuseppe Comancoli, Stefano Nessi, and Caspar Vingard, colored by Frank Martin and Caspar Vingard, and lettered by Troy Pateri. Batman, Damian, and the Sandman, they make it to where Insomnia is with the Nightmare Stone and attempt to stop him. But obviously it's not that simple, and there's a complication. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of a spoiler on this one. I don't want to get too much into it, but just a little bit of warning if you haven't read it yet. Basically, this was Insomnia's plan all along, and he is able to unleash the true terror that is everyone's nightmares into the real world. So remember what I said about the Detective Comics one? Yeah, that's horrifying. So this sets up a really cool angle after we spent all this time finding people's nightmares. Now they have to fight them in the real world. Instead of just overcoming them mentally, they have to actually stop them. So I think that's going to be really cool. And there's, I'm thinking back to those series and I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be a really cool matchup. I can't wait to see that. So great stuff. Good twist. And I want to see where we're going to go. So they're doing their job correctly. So that's my Night Terrors wrap up for the week. And finally, let's talk about Marvel Comics. And we got some books. Let's jump in. First up, Star Wars, Dr. Aphra, number 35, which is part of the Dark Droids crossover. Written by Alyssa Wong, art by Minkyu Jung, colored by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Jacara Magna. I love the part that Aphra is going to play in this crossover. I think that's really, really cool. I also like how she is dealing with the fact that Sana's not around in the most unhealthy way, which is very in character with Dr. Aphra. I really like it. I also like this new kind of like twist to the Aphra and Domina Tag story. I won't jump into that, but I think it was really fun. And to see her in that position, it's just really, really good. I also love the use of Just Lucky. He's probably my favorite of the support characters in Aphra. So I'm really glad to see him around again. But yeah, really interesting, really creepy too. Like, I wasn't buying the rest of the Dark Droids books, but I might, because if this is any indication, I think it's going to be a really interesting tale. So we'll see. But for now, of course, I'm always going to get Dr. Aphra. And that is just great. Pick it up. After that is the number one, which is Marvel Unleashed number one. Written by Kyle Starks, art by Jesus Hervas, colored by Ian Nitro, and letter by Jacara Magna. This, of course, is the Pet Avengers coming back together. And the first issue is really good. We find out that Lockjaw is taken by Kraven the Hunter, and it's up to the Pet Avengers to save him. And we meet some new characters, including D-Dog, which is just perfect homage to that character. I love it. I'll be honest, I enjoyed the issue, but I was also waiting for Throg to show up because Throg is my boy and he's on the cover. And I find out that he will be back. He'll be in next issue for a very good reason. They're going to go to him. So it makes sense. But it was kind of like, oh, I want him there. We do get to check with some other characters. I love Red Wing. Red Wing is great. Just this pompous little shit is really, really great. And of course, the Flurkin. So a lot of fun. I always love when they do Pet Avengers stuff. It's always really great. And it's always fun to see which characters they choose to use. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Also, it does look like that Doctor Strange's dog will be involved according to the cover, but he hasn't been yet. But I love him, so I can't wait for Bats to be there. So yeah, good stuff. After that is Daredevil and Echo number 4. This is the finale of this mini. And this is written by Tabu and B. Earl, art by Phil Noto, and letter by Clayton Cowles. This is so interesting. The way it ends, I thought it was really well told. I love Tommy and Matthew Murdock coming face to face in this afterlife, isn't the word? Pocket dimension, maybe? We'll see. And I just love this choice. I love it's up to Matt to figure out what to do. And I love him teaming up with his ancestor, and just the way Tommy acts is very fun. I'm kind of sad to see him go, like, to be honest, but obviously that makes sense. And yeah, just a really great story with some with maybe some lingering effects to the Marvel Universe that we might see, maybe, or maybe they'll get dropped. I don't know. But I mean, Dream Spider's still around, and that was the last time that we saw Tabu and B. Earl. So hopefully we'll have some more impact here. But just great to see Echo not immediately get lost in the shuffle after leaving the Avengers, because she was the Phoenix. Like, you can't just ignore that. You can't just get rid of her. So I'm glad they did something with her, and I really appreciate it. A really great little mini, definitely worth picking up. And next up is Black Panther number 3. This one is a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying the idea of T'Challa without any of his resources, just being like this undercover Black Panther. I love his hiding in plain sight idea of like, well, I'll be the Black Panther. No one expect me to be the Black Panther. They're going to see the Black Panther. We're like, well, that's not T'Challa. So written by Eve Ewing, art by Chris Allen and Max Shader, or pencils by Chris Allen and Max Shader, inked by Craig Young and Max Shader, colored by Susa Burdov and letter by Joseph Bino. I also really like this new antagonist slash partner. I love the vibe I already get from them. I think that's going to be something very fun to play with. And yeah, just them working together. I love the idea of T'Challa in the not prosperous era of Wakanda, you know, the area that might be struggling a bit. And with him not being royalty, him being able to see the reality of some of the parts of his country, I think that's a great story. And yeah, I want to see where that goes. And I think it's just really cool. Also, that new costume, it's just so great. I mean, I can't praise that costume enough. It looks beautiful. So. After that is Moon Knight City of the Dead number 2. This one is written by David Pappose, penciled by Marcelo Ferrara, inked by Jay Leiston, colored by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Corey Petit. Layla's in this book, so do you need to know anything else? Do you really care beyond the fact that Layla's in this book? Because she's incredible. That's all I care about. And all joking aside, this is a great book. I love Moon Knight and the afterlife, where the stakes are different. And like the creepy stuff they can do, and the things they're doing with Egyptian mythology, specifically with the weighing of the hearts. I got it. Like, as soon as they made this big reveal, before they had to actually explain it to me, I understood what happened, and I just gasped. I loved it so much. So it's really good. But obviously, the draw is Layla. I love Layla. Layla was the best part of the show, which I loved. I loved the show. And just to see her in the comics is fantastic. So everybody should be buying this. If you're reading Moon Knight, you should be reading this one too. They're both great. And honestly, two of my favorite writers in comics right now, between Jed MacKay and David Pappose, it's insane that they're working on the same character when I've been reading these guys since the indies. So yeah, wonderful. Glad to see it. Definitely pick it up. Cannot recommend this enough. Which brings me to Invincible Iron Man number 9. This one, written by Gary Duggan, art by Juan Figueri, colored by Brian Valenza, letter by Joe Caramagna. More and more, Iron Man is an X-Men book. He is intimately tied into the X-Men now, which I think is great. I love how that's happening. I love how Captain America is kind of being tied into them a bit more. And I just think it's really interesting. I do like the way they're tied in, whereas Steve is like, I will lead a group, the Unity Squad, and I will do this. And then Tony's more like underground. And it totally fits their characters. I think that's really interesting. I'm not sold on Tony and Emma as an actual romantic idea, if that's the way it's going to go, or if it's going to be more serving a purpose. Maybe it's just because Emma and Scott are like my pairing and I love them together. So we'll see. But I do love this book. I think it's really great. I'm so glad I jumped on Invincible Iron Man when it started. I normally don't buy Iron Man books, but I saw it and I was like, you know what? It's a number one. Maybe they're going to do something cool with it. And they have. I really, really liked it. So definitely worth a pickup, especially if you are a Krakoa fan like me and you want to keep up with everything going on. This is your book for your Emma fix, and it's fantastic. After that is an amazing book that I can't wait to talk about, Captain America Finale. This is the end of the run for the current run of Captain America, with written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, art by Carmen Carnero, colors by Nolan Woodard, and letter by Joe Caramagna, excuse me. But it's also a goodbye to everyone who worked on both Sentinel of Liberty and the, oh my gosh, the name of it escaped me, the Sam book that I really, really liked. SOT, Symbol of Truth, there we go. with Tochio Nobuchi as well, at just doing such a fantastic job with Sam Wilson. So it's a goodbye to that whole arc. And it is a goodbye to the Outer Circle, where our heroes finally make their move. And holy crap, do I absolutely love this book. Sharon is the new Destroyer, the new Nomad. Everything going on in this book is just so much fun. And watching the Outer Circle fall one by one is just so satisfying. Just everything built up to this, and it did such a great job. I'm sad to see this creative team go. I am looking forward to the next creative team. I think they're going to do something special, but this was a really great run, and it definitely deserves applause for how wonderful it was, and just fantastic. I cannot wait to see what we're going to do with Captain America next. And I mean, Kelly and Lansing have my loyalty. I'm going to be buying their books forever. So just great job. And next up is a number one, The Immortal Thor. The new Thor reboot is here, and there's been so much talk about what is going to happen, what's going to make it different to the other Thor runs, what kind of tone is it going to take. And I will tell you, it's good. I really enjoy it. Written by Al Ewing, art by Martin Kokolo, color by Matthew Wilson, letter by Joe Sabino. It definitely goes into the mythology of it all, and I love when Thor gets up its ass with the mythology. I love that shit. It's so good. And also it does it in a very unique Marvel way, which I really, really enjoyed. As far as tone goes, it's not as grim as some of the last run of Thor. So if that's your thing, it might not be what you're looking for. But it's got its action. It's got its dark moments. But it's definitely, I think I'll quote Al Ewing in his letter at the end of it was, people say, like, what I think of Thor. And he says, there's two things I know for sure before I think of anything else. One is that Thor shouldn't be like the other heroes. He should be more. He should shatter mountains, stand in the thunder that kills, turn back ancient winners, defeat death itself. And the other is that I like him best when he smiles. And I think that's the best description of this book. I am excited. I've always loved Thor. It's my first favorite Marvel character. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see where this is going to go. And I just love that we keep getting these different runs of different characters by completely different creative teams with their own visions, and they're all just so good. Marvel's doing such a great job lately. So yeah, bring on more. I can't wait. After that is Fantastic Four Annual 2023. This is the next Contest of Chaos one, written by Zach Gorman, art by Alan Robinson, color by Gory FX, and letter by Joe Caramagna. This is yet another battle between two heroes, in this case Ghost Rider versus Johnny Storm. And I personally, this is the first time I was wrong about who would win, is what I'll tell you, because I was like, there's no way he has a chance, that's bullshit. But I love the way it was told. I love the way we got to it, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Actually, that's a way that person could win the fight. I'm not telling you who. Read it for yourself. And we also get some more of the background story at the end, of course, of building up to what's happening in Contest of Chaos. This has been so much fun, and it's definitely it's going to be such a fun event once we get to it. I also want to talk about how the next issue is Moon Knight Annual, and it's Moon Knight versus Teguki. who is from Tiger Division. I am very excited for this fight because my instinct says Marvel will want Moon Knight to win, but my logic process says, how in the fuck would he win that fight? So I want to see what they're going to do. Because, yeah, he, for those who don't know, my boy has a lot of powers. So we'll see. But yeah, been a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. Definitely pick it up. Now we're going to talk about some Spidey books real quick, starting with Venom 24. This one, we swing back to the Brock storyline with Al Ewing writing, pencils by Sergio Devia, inked by Sean Parsons, colored by Frank D'Armata, letter by Clayton Cowles. And we get to see our second Doctor Doom appearance of the week, where Eddie Brock goes to Latveria because he needs a time machine. And Doctor Doom is like, nah. And Eddie Brock's like, yeah. And then what happens, happens, you can assume. So it's a lot of fun. I love Eddie fighting in tandem with the controlled Bedlam. I think that's really interesting. And as he collects other symbiotes, I wonder what that's going to look like. I'm very excited about that. And now we got like a time travel story with Eddie and Doctor Doom. Sure, why not? I love it. Let's do it. That'll be a lot of fun. So, and the other Spidey book of the week is Amazing Spider-Man number 32. This one takes place, of course, after the horrific wedding episode and what happened. Written by Zeb Wells, art by Patrick Gleason, colored by Marcio Meniz, and letter by Joe Caramagna. This is Queen Goblin and Kraven, and they're trying to get revenge on Norman Osborn. Kraven is able to take all the sins of Norman out of Queen Goblin and put it into a spear, and his intention is to stab Norman with it and putting the sins back in him. And let's just say it doesn't go as planned, in a really cool twist that I'm like, holy crap, what are they going to do next? Like, I'm really anticipating what's going to happen next. So they did a great job of leaving me like on my toes. And it's just a story that is going to be great, and I can't wait. So yeah, definitely check that out. Amazing Spider-Man, I love it. Not everybody does for some reason. People are haters, I don't know, but this is great. And now let's talk Krakoan books. Deadpool number 10, wrapping up this mini. I loved this run. One of my favorite Deadpool runs ever. Written by Alyssa Wong, art by Luigi Zagaria, colored by Matt Mia, letter by Joe Sabino. It opens with an amazing scene of Deadpool and Valentine in bed. And Valentine looks absolutely gorgeous, and I love it. It's just like a sweet but funny moment, which is a very Deadpool thing to have. And I was really worried because we're wrapping up this story and I'm like, oh, this is the time to write off some characters. And they don't. And I'm really hoping that we can see more of this combination of characters in the future. Not just Valentine, but also Princess and Lady Deathstrike. I think it's a great little group, and I think it complements Wade very well. So loved this run. When you get the 10 issue trade, pick it up if you haven't read it. It's so good. It's so much fun. It's very enjoyable. Next up is Jean Grey number 1, written by the best ever. One of my favorite writers of all time, Louise Simonson. Art by Bernard Chang, colored by Marcelo Maiolo, and letter by Ariana Mayer. I have an insane affinity for the Simonsons. They're two of my favorite people. I adore everything they've ever written. And I maintain that I don't think there's a writer I can think of that has a main line to Jean Grey like Louise Simonson does. I'm thinking back to the X-Factor era that I loved. And just to see her get this mini was a really, really cool prospect. And the form it takes, which I'm not going to jump too much into, is so good. And it's not like a nostalgia run like some other books have been, that have been like, oh, this is fun, but inconsequential. This is consequential. This is going to matter. And between the amazing writing and the art, this is a book that is on my radar. It's going to be so good, and I cannot wait to dive into this and to see what impact this will have on the entire Fall of X. I love it. I absolutely love it. So high recommend for me. Which leads me to another insanely high recommend, Realm of X number 1. This one is so welcome because I'll tell you in a moment. Let me tell you the creative team really quick. This is going to be written by Torin Groenbeck, art by Diogenes Neves, color by Rain Burrito, and letter by Clayton Cowles. Teeny Howard has done such a great job over the past years, giving us magical X-Men with all these different books that came out. And I loved them all. I thought it was so cool to see that. And with Teeny moving on, I was kind of worried we would not continue to get magical X-Men stories. Well, then we get Realm of X announced, and who's writing it but Torin Groenbeck. And I actually messaged Josue that we were talking about this book. Even though he's on hiatus, I still reach out to him occasionally. And I was like, make sure to read Realm of X. And then I just took a picture of the roster. And he's like, what? And I'm like, and it's written by Torin Groenbeck. He's like, that's perfect. Like, yeah, we were both really excited about this book. For the record, the roster of this team is Magic, Mirage, Typhoid Mary, Dust, Marrow, and Curse. And yes, every one of them get used. And it's just so cool. It's got a magical tale to it, but it's also really dark and just amazing. And it's just a new era of magical X-Men, and I'm so excited that we still have it. I was really worried it would be dropped on the wayside, so thank you so much for maintaining it. I love this book. And my final book of the week is X-Force 43. Oh my god. Okay. So what was X-Force doing during the Hellfire Gala, you ask? Well, here we go. Written by Benjamin Percy, art by Robert Gill, color by Gory FX, and letter by Joe Caramagna. All of this Colossus drama is coming home to roost finally. And it's done in a way that I really enjoyed, but I also hated, because it's just like, yeah, fucking bastard. Like, and I hated it in the way I'm supposed to. So I want to see, obviously he's not in control, but I want to see if this does end up coming back on him or not. So this is a really fascinating book. It's also very interesting. This is one of the ones that didn't get renumbered. It's been very good. I love the return of Quentin Quire, which is, you know, one of my favorite characters. Very good book overall. I don't have a lot to say about it yet because I want to see how it ends. So, yep, leads into a really cool outro. But yeah, those are the issues that I had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. And you can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. You can also find the show itself at WHI Podcast. Make sure to check us out on there. It's the easiest way to know when a new episode comes out. You get an announcement, timestamps for each publisher, and a list of every book reviewed. That should come out on a Saturday morning most of the time. Also follow our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter. That is our musical playlist building show, which is currently on hiatus, but make sure to check out the old episodes. We basically get a random category every week, and we build those playlists around it, around music. And it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of friends, our co-host Mando. It's just a blast. So make sure to check that out once again at Jukebox Vertigo. And finally, follow Josue on Twitch at Josue Plays Josue. Even though he is on hiatus right now, if he came back to a bunch of new followers, I bet he'd be very excited. And I live to excite that boy. So make sure to do that. Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. So stay safe and read more comics.
Are you tired of watching your beloved characters being tortured by careless authors?
Are you sick of feeling like they could have swapped out all of the painful action and the plot would remain untouched? Subscribe to Books That Burn, the fortnightly book review podcast focusing on fictional depictions of trauma.
We assume that the characters' reactions are reasonable and focus on how badly or well they were served by their authors.
Join us for our minor character spotlights, main character discussions, and favorite non-traumatic things in the dark books we love.
Find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.